Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Business is dirty. Part 1 million in 2041. I will prove it to you in horse racing with a new story out, the Preakness upcoming. John Shipley is going to join us from the, covers the Jaguars for a living. We'll get his thoughts on Tebow time. Why is everybody so freaked out about Tim Tebow? You sound like the dumbest people on the face of the earth when you compare Tim Tebow trying out to make the Jaguars and Colin Kaepernick. You sound like an idiot. You sound like somebody who so badly wants to make a point, right? You become that guy. You know that guy who you have a point you want to make. The point has been made. You feel like it's not fair. There's a lot of nuance to why Kaepernick is never going to be in the NFL again. Wasn't going to be in the NFL again for the last couple of years. All of these things, like this is an interesting conversation. But I chose to take the morning and just listen. That's what I've done. Just listen. Watch sports on TV. Listen. Read. Just I just take it a morning when I had a cup of coffee early, had my dog, and we're just like, I'm just going to listen and watch. And there's like five people in sports media who want to make some statement, some grandiose statement. And I heard Bucky Brooks on Colin Cowherd, and thank God for Bucky Brooks. He's like, yeah, this kind of happens everywhere. Guy coach brings in their guys. It's really what it is. which is like, here's the bigger point. It relates to the Tebow thing and you know, trying to make Urban Meyer's team. It relates to the Aaron Rodgers story as well. Have you ever seen the TV show Survivor? Ramos, are you a Survivor fan? Have you seen
I am
Survivor?
Not. I understand the premise. I know what it's about, but I am not a watcher of that show.
You never watched, never had a season that you've watched?
No, I mean, I understand. I've had it on the TV. I've seen it. I maybe sat through a couple of the moments of it, but I'm not like, oh, I got to come back and watch that next week.
How many seasons do you think there have been of Survivor?
I want to say there's been like 30.
Okay. Without looking, without Googling, Gavin, how many seasons do you think there have been?
I was going to guess 20.
But you looked?
No, I was okay. Going to look, but then you told me not to.
Don't look. What if I told you there have been 40 seasons? Woo-hoo-hoo! 40 seasons. Is it Mark Burnett, I think, what produces all of them, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, Mark Burnett is literally swimming in money. So is Jeff Probst, because not only does Probst, has he found a way to steer clear of some of this other stuff, which has caused hosts to lose their job. He's going to get residuals from all this. It's on not only network TV, but it's being replayed at all hours of the night on syndication. He's going to go out to his mailbox for the rest of his life, and there's going to be a check there. Literally every first and 15th, he'll never have to work again. And I'm not sure you could say he's really worked all that much other than traveling to these incredible locations. That said, you said you understand the premise. What's the premise, Ramos?
I think the premise, it's a game. I'm not quite sure how much of a game it still is, but I understand that at the beginning it was people would get there and they try to outsmart somebody else and see who can stay on the island the longest.
Okay, is it a... Do you believe it is a, is there any correlation to what you see to real life?
That's a good question.
I know I asked good questions.
I would say yes, there's a correlation.
Okay. Gavin, your opinion of the show is what?
Well, I think you can think of the voting thing as a pretty democratic process, kind of like we have here in America.
What if I told you that life is basically Survivor? I used to watch this show when I was in Russia. We got my first true professional basketball gig started in January of 2001. Bounced around in the fall. 2001, I flew out. I was in Perm, Russia. I played for a team called Ural Great. We won the championship. And every week we would get a care package from my mother-in-law. And in it would be Kool-Aid packages. We love Kool-Aid, right? We used to get this mountain spring water from the river that was incredible. But like they didn't, at that time, in that part of Russia, like they didn't even really have Coca-Cola, which you call Coca, right? But they had, and they didn't really have like Gatorade or fruit drinks or whatever. It was, they drank chai, which is tea, water, but room temp, and occasionally a Coca, coffee and beer, vodka and cognac. Cognac you drank in honor of Stalingrad. And that's really all you had to drink in Perm, Russia in 2001. So we'd get Kool-Aid packages, but we'd also get VHS recordings of Survivor. It was the biggest show on earth. Now, my initial attraction to the show was the idea of people going and being survivors and living in the wild, right? Kind of like
Naked and
Lord
Afraid.
Lord of the Flies, I was thinking. A Lord of the Flies-esque, you know, but Naked and Afraid. What Naked and Afraid has become is kind of what I thought Survivor was. So at the time, I was really into the first couple seasons. Then I kind of got turned off because it became about alliances and allegiances and voting. And, you know, it became a game. Do you know what else is like that? Real life. Real life. More on that in a second. Discover matches all the cash back you earn your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted 99% of the places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. The real life is just like the game of Survivor. They tell you in business it's not about what you know, but who you know. Damn right it is. You'll have alliances and conflicting alliances. And that becomes really, really hard to manage. It's what started World War I. You don't have to like the show Survivor. You don't have to like the characters. You don't have to respect the players. You should respect the game because that's how it works. ESPN's Jeff Darlington. Not everybody, obviously Urban Meyer is the one behind all this, but not everybody in the Jaguars building is thrilled with this. They don't think that it necessarily sends a proper message to the team in the locker room and but the guys are trying to make this team. Devin Bush, who plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tebow just got Kaepernick. Wait till we play Jacksonville. Okay, Devin, you sound like an idiot. Hey, Gavin, you got a computer in front of you?
I do.
Can you Google for a second?
Okay.
Pittsburgh, schedule, 2021. The dates have not been released, but the opponents have been released. Do the Pittsburgh Steelers play the Jacksonville Jaguars?
They do not.
I want you to Google and make sure. Make sure you have the teams. We know they're not in their division in the AFC North. Okay, so they're not the Ravens, not the Bengals, they're not the Browns. Okay, they're not any of these teams. Help me out. Go and give me the other teams the Steelers play. Make sure that the Jaguars are not among
them. Okay, obviously Ravens, Bengals, Browns. They also have the Bears, Broncos, Lions, Raiders, Seahawks, Titans. They have the Vikings, Chargers, Chiefs, Packers, and Bills.
But no Jaguars.
No Jaguars.
Okay. So first of all, you sound like a complete buffoon relating Kaepernick to Tebow. Right? Second of all, you sound like an even bigger buffoon talking about can't wait till we play Jacksonville. First of all, they're not even on your schedule. Second of all, Tebow's not even on the team yet. Third of all, don't you have an injury to come back from that's a little bit more important than throwing yourself into this kind of woke passion fest for Colin Kaepernick? Bro, last time Colin Kaepernick was a good quarterback was 2013. You were a sophomore in high school. It's obviously part of your formative years. Hey, okay? But you're now a professional. And oh yeah, by the way, Devin, when you turn 36, you should hope that Jim Harbaugh is a head coach in the NFL. Do you know why? Because the way the world really works is those alliances, those, hey, I was with him once and I was great once. That's what gets you a job. That's what gets you a job. It's why you go to Ohio State or why you go to Michigan or why you would go to Florida, right? Gators hire Gators. Buckeyes hire Buckeyes. Wolverines hire Wolverines. In sports, we talk about football families and basketball families all the time. My basketball family is going to celebrate the Hall of Fame induction of Eddie Sutton this Saturday in Springfield, Massachusetts. It's going to be a great day. Great day. And anytime I need something, really, really, really need something, do you know who I call? I call the people who coached me, knew me, school I played at, people who went there, those connections. Those are my alliances. You just, if you haven't figured it out yet, okay, the world works exactly like Survivor. You want to know why Colin Kaepernick's not in the league? He was about to go to the Baltimore Ravens. John Harbaugh is the coach. Yes, he happens to be related to Jim Harbaugh, who coached Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco. Greg Roman's our offensive coordinator, who coached Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco. Why didn't that happen? Because his girlfriend put out a meme likening the owner of the Ravens to Django Unchained and a slave owner. Yeah, it didn't sit all that well with Steve Bisciotti. Didn't, especially a guy who was loyal to Ray Lewis after all that Ray Lewis went through and put the franchise through. Right? Like the idea you call guys a racist because who stands by all of his players, black, white, or otherwise, kind of comical. And oh yeah, by the way, it's infuriating to the point where you can't get a job. And guess what happens with that alliance? Goes away. Love you. Would do anything for you. Can't have you on my football team. Why? The owner's pissed. The owner's pissed. So Jeff Darlington can report that some guys, who cares that some guys don't? The only thing that matters is what the head guy wants. And the head guy is Urban Meyer. And he's tired. He took over a franchise that's been good twice. Once way back in the day, Mark Brunell, Keenan McCardell, the, you know, Fragile Fred Taylor, those dudes, right? And about like 5 years ago, they beat the Steelers in the playoffs, had the Patriots dead to rights in the first half, chose to kneel on the ball because they didn't trust their quarterback, and they fell apart there shortly thereafter because they extended a quarterback, Blake Bortles, who wasn't good enough. So over 25 years, they've been good twice. And everybody's like, you know, I'm going to try and turn around the culture here. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring back all of the guys who I know, they know what I want. Go look at his coaching staff. And oh yeah, by the way, most of his coaches from college, he hasn't put in positions of power. He just hasn't. He's been really, really smart about it. Why? Well, quite frankly, because if you get right down to it, most of them have been coaching in the National Football League. You know? So he's not gonna put guys in positions to fail. Charlie Strong is his assistant head coach and inside linebackers coach. That is not a position of power. Why would you bring in Charlie Strong, who's been a college coach his entire life, who's part of Alabama's national championship winning team in 2020, who's been a part of Urban Meyer's teams back with the Florida Gators? Because he knows the players, and he has an alliance to Urban Meyer, who he used to work for. Daryl Bevel's the offensive coordinator. Man, Daryl Bevel's like, there's no real connection there, but he's a pro. He's a pro. Go to the defensive side of the ball. Chris Ash is his defensive backs coach. Like, Chris Ash, the Rutgers coach? Yeah. Do you know where he was like 6, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, before it was a disaster at Rutgers? He was an assistant at Ohio State. You bring back guys that know what you want, how you work, and they can spread the gospel of your beliefs in the locker room. That's what Tebow is. And by the way, he hadn't made the team. And might not make the team. And if he does, it's the last roster spot. He's going to have to play special teams. He's going to have to prove he belongs. Because he can't fool players. If a guy can't play, a guy can't play. But we make these ridiculous statements. Just idiotic statements. Comparing and correlating Colin Kaepernick to Tim Tebow. It has nothing to do with, well, Tim Tebow has a belief in and you know. Look, all the other stuff makes sense. He's trying to make it as a tight end. He's got great energy about him. He's just going to try and make the team. He's from Jacksonville. Maybe he sells a couple of seats. They've struggled to fill up that building. All of that stuff. The big part is there's an alliance there. There's an alliance. He is part of that football family. And to anybody in that room who says, I don't really get it, well, then you don't get the football family because you're probably not part of it, and means you probably won't be part of it. Right? It's like people who don't understand. In college basketball, it's just like college football. College basketball, if you work for Rick Pitino, part of the Pitino family, for better or for worse, and he is the most powerful voice in picking up the phone, and there's C.M. Newton that he used to have call people, and now he has Billy Donovan call people, because Billy played for Rick. Rick turned around Kentucky. C.M. Newton was at Kentucky. It's all a big fit. It's all one big alliance. It's just like Survivor. Just like Survivor. You know? There's the North Carolina basketball family. There's the all these they have football families. What happens when the Patriots and one of the Patriots gets hired somewhere else? Guess who they bring in? Guys that they played with, worked for, whatever. Now, it hasn't worked for the most part outside of New England, but it doesn't stop people from joining up with assets, guys who they know, guys who they're comfortable with. Go look at the Buffalo Bills. Look at the Buffalo Bills. You had a head coach and a general manager who came from Carolina, and a head coach who before that was in Philadelphia. Everybody who he brought over worked with him before. Look at the Washington football team and Ron Rivera. All those guys were with him in Carolina. And by the way, in your place of work, it's probably the same thing. My place of work sure as hell is. My boss is Scott Shapiro. I worked with him at ESPN. So did Colin Cowherd. Huh, so did Dan Patrick. That's funny how that works. That's how the world works. You work with somebody, you trust them, you like them, you know their quirkiness, their ins, their outs. You know about how much they make, how much they're worth, where they are in their life. Are they willing to make a change? Can they help you change the culture? Do they work the way you want to work? If you get along with them, like, you hire them. That's what you do. And all of these idiots who say things about Kaepernick, they just don't get how it works in life. Life is just like Survivor. It is, by my estimation, the most important show for business students to watch in the history of television. I didn't say it's the best. That's Cheers or Seinfeld. Or the funniest. Or the best written. It's not Ted Lasso, which I binged in 2 days and cannot wait for season 2. It's not The Queen, which I'm binging now and I'll watch during breaks. Okay, it's not Breaking Bad, an amazing idea and really, really, really good show. Although I kind of think a bit overrated. I like The Wire better. That's just me. All of that said, the most important show you should watch if you want to know how business actually works is Survivor. Because the other part of Survivor, which is totally accurate, I know for a fact, and you probably do too, you may not want to admit it, is no matter how good some of these friends are and people and alliances are, at the end of the day, push comes to shove, most people, not all, most people, their last default is to protect themselves, worry about themselves and their own livelihood. That plays out in Survivor all the time. That plays out in life all the time. Hey, we're great friends. We're dear friends. We're ultimate. But I don't want to get fired, and if it comes down to me or you, it's going to be you. And all of these guys that make these comments, you know, Devin Bush 11, by the way, has nothing to do with whole race protesting, just competitor versus competitor. No, it's not. You made a comment about something you don't understand about, and eventually you will. And all of those guys in Pittsburgh, if they go elsewhere, if your defensive coordinator goes elsewhere, you're going to hope that the first call when you're a free agent is from your former defensive coordinator. Why? Because that's how life works.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. LeBron James is going to give his right ankle one more day to rest versus the Knicks. A target return of Wednesday versus the Rockets. Sources tell at MC10 and me. That's Adrian Wojnarowski. In not related news, Russell Westbrook broke Oscar Robertson's triple-double record. He had 28, 13, 21 assists and a loss to the Hawks Monday night. He topped the Big O's previous record of 181 triple-doubles. What's amazing about it was, obviously, Brad Beal hurt his hamstring, and so he had to, you know, Russell had to completely carry the team, which he did. But they got the ball back down one, and with 3.5 seconds to go, he took a contested three with two guys on him in classic Russell Westbrook fashion. You know, I can't believe, yes, I can completely believe that Russell Westbrook did that. Here's Russell after the game.
It's just a blessing, man. You know, you put so much into the game, you put so much time, you sacrifice so much to put into the game and to be able to just be mentioned with guys like Oscar and Magic and Jason Kidd and those guys is just something that I never would have dreamt about as a young kid growing up in L.A. And I'm truly grateful for moments like this. And, you know, normally I don't like to pat myself on the back, but tonight I will.
Good. I like Russell. I mean, I think he's a hell of a player, you know, and when he plays with full energy, people say, well, nobody plays harder. Like, it's not really the case if you actually watch him. A lot of the seasons in Oklahoma City, there were tons of possessions. He didn't play hard on defense, but then he'll make a great play and make a mean face. And you're like, oh, well, yeah, he did. I can respect Russell Westbrook, the man, very good man. I can respect his competitive instincts. Meanwhile, I'll tell you, like, love how much he competes and how much he likes the game and how much he's gotten better. Don't think he's, you know, one of the all-time top five, top 10 point guards. And most people in basketball would agree with you on that. They just wouldn't. It's like, I love him. He's great. Do you want him on your team? Not really. Not really. Not really. High volume guy, low percentage make guy. Yes, he gets a lot of assists. Is he a creative passer? No. You know, he's just not. He's fine. He's good. He competes. He gets the rim. He kicks off. The guys make jump shots and they'll make dunks and he'll do some good things. But I mean, he's not in the great scorers in the NBA. He's not LeBron or James Harden or even Steph as a passer. And in the great point guards in the game now, he's not Chris Paul as a passer. You know, he's just not. So he puts up some numbers. If you're into that sort of thing, great. He's done a very good job not allowing this ship to go astray and getting them into what appears to be the playoffs. He has no flaws off the court that I'm aware of, and for that should be rewarded. And it's a great accomplishment. Does it make him one of the all-time great players? The answer is no.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. John Shipley joins us, Jaguars reporter from SI.com, @John_Shipley, if you want to follow him on Twitter. John, how is the, let's just start with the Urban Meyer. How has the Urban Meyer hired been viewed in Jacksonville?
Yeah, no, I think most people, at least inside of Jacksonville, have been really excited. I think, you know, he's kind of re-energized at the very least the fan base and, you know, some people within the organization. Because, you know, for as successful as Doug Marrone was in, you know, the 2017 season, Doug Marrone and Dave Caldwell were never really, you know, going to excite the fan base or anything like that. Whereas, you know, Urban Meyer, he's definitely going to do that because of his past history as a high-profile college coach and the fact that, you know, he won a national championship at Florida. And there are a lot of fans who intersect, you know, between Gators and Florida fans. So I think the initial reaction was excited. And I think, you know, after the draft, people are still, you know, pretty excited.
All right. Now, what about the Tebow news?
The Tebow news is much more of a mixed bag of reaction. I think you have a certain fraction of people who see it as, okay, what's the harm in giving a guy essentially what's a tryout spot? Because, you know, it's a spot on the 90-man roster in the event he does get signed, you know. It's not a guarantee to be on the 53-man roster. So I think a lot of people are saying, what's the harm? Whereas, you know, some other people are saying, okay, does this maybe cause any concerns about maybe Meyer's transition to the NFL? Because there's no other coach in the NFL, you know, that is trying to bring in Tebow as a tight end. every free agent tight end on the market right now and who has, you know, even played a snap in the NFL is technically more qualified to be signed by the Jaguars than Tebow as a tight end. So that's kind of the balance with it. You know, I think a lot of people are kind of excited just at the prospect of it and the fact that, you know, it can be kind of a feel-good story. And plus, like I mentioned, there are a lot of Gator fans inside Jacksonville, but I think there are a lot more fans inside Jacksonville who are kind of wondering, okay, what exactly are they attempting to do with this?
It's not that different, though, to hiring Charlie Strong, though, is it, right? Like, Charlie Strong, you're like, well, he obviously helped him when he's at Florida, went on to be his own head coach, then was at Alabama, and he's like, look, I'm going to bring you back. You're one of my guys, like Chris Ash. I'm not going to put you in a position of power, but I'm going to get guys that are loyal and know how we operate and know how we do things, and those are the guys that are going to be around us. It's not that different, is it?
Yeah, I think my argument would be, you know, bringing a guy on a staff, and I actually wrote yesterday that if Urban wanted to bring Tebow into the organization, then by all means, you know, do it. But it'd make more sense to bring him in onto like the support or the coaching staff than as a player. Just because in the NFL, roster spots are so much more valuable than, you know, they are in college, especially, you know, Meyer's background. He hasn't experienced a true, you know, 53-man roster before. So I'm not sure he really, you know, yet knows just how important that roster spot could be, even if he is a bottom-of-the-roster kind of guy. And then at the end of the day, you know, Tebow, as successful as he's been as an athlete, guys like Charlie Strong and Chris Ash, you know, yeah, they don't have NFL experience, but they at least have experience, you know, as linebacker coaches, as defensive back coaches. Tebow, the last time he played tight end was in high school. So I think those would be the big differences there. But in terms of just trusting guys that you know and bringing in people that, you know, you really know inside and out and that you are positive can instill the kind of culture you want, then no, it's not that different. It's the same thing Meyer's kind of preached all offseason. He's placed a big emphasis on relationships, you know, in free agency, in the draft, and, you know, his coaching hires, and this wouldn't be any different.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. John Shipley is our guest, Jaguars reporter for SI.com. Okay, so now you have a new quarterback, likely a new running back, a whole new coaching staff, and yet, but you have this league that right now there's a pushback on dudes showing up for OTAs for off-season workouts. Where are the Jaguars and their players in regards to these kind of protests?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The Jaguars, you know, to this point, they've been one of the few teams who actually, you know, haven't put out any statements through the NFLPA. I think, you know, at least from the looks of it, you know, the Jaguars, you know, they've had good attendance in their virtual meetings, and they're actually set to have their rookie mini camp later this weekend, you know, actually on Saturday. So I don't think that they're one of the teams that, you know, like the others, have kind of been, you know, opting to, you know, either not come to off-season workouts or anything like that. I think that they've had a decent amount of buy-in, at least at that level, because, like I said, they're one of the few teams who didn't make any kind of comment to the labor union, like through the labor union.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so quarterback will be different, and you have a quarterback in Trevor Lawrence who he played not terribly far from Jacksonville. He's from not terribly far from Jacksonville, and he's as hyped as any quarterback we've had since Andrew Luck, right, coming out. What are reasonable expectations first year in the National Football League for him?
Well, I think the expectations are, at least, you know, within Jacksonville, is, you know, for him to at least, you know, live up to the hype to an extent, you know. Maybe not walk into a 1-15 team and obviously turn them into a winner and, you know, barely lose any games like he did in college and high school. That, of course, would be ridiculous to expect. But I think people are expecting him to come in and at least play, you know, maybe like a Justin Herbert-level player from last season, a guy who comes in and automatically looks like he belongs and can create explosive plays really at will. You know, Herbert wasn't a perfect player last season, of course, but he set multiple records, and there were times throughout the season in which he just looked like the next big star at quarterback. And I think if the Jaguars can get similar production out of Lawrence, just considering where they were a year ago, especially at the quarterback position, I think that would be considered a big success and would give them a good trajectory moving forward with Lawrence.
No question about it. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Travis Etienne brought in as running back. How much of that is based upon their evaluation? How much of it is based upon his relationship and play with Trevor?
I think a lot of it's based on his evaluation. I wouldn't say none of it is based on his relationship with Trevor. I think giving Trevor, you know, somebody he's familiar with in the offense, and especially somebody who's a skilled player that, you know, he's had a lot of chemistry with the last couple of years, makes a lot of sense. But I think, you know, even if he went to a school like, you know, UCLA or Washington or Penn State, I think the Jaguars still would have picked them at number 25, because the way Meyer made it sound after the draft is, you know, they were targeting a very specific kind of football player at number 25. You know, they wanted an offensive playmaker who could, you know, really be utilized all throughout the offense. Meyer noted that this player that broke his heart at Penn State was Florida wide receiver Kadarius Toney, who was more of a, you know, offensive weapon than a true wide receiver. And then ETN, you know, in the days following the draft, Urban called him a slash-type player who would kind of be utilized as a dual-threat player. So I think Meyer really wanted to just add, you know, an electrifying home run threat to the skill player group, whether it's that running back, whether it's that receiver. So I think that ETN would have been the selection, you know, even if, you know, him and Lawrence had never met.
It's Doug Gottlieb's show here on Fox Sports Radio. John Shipley is our guest. John, great stuff. Awesome insight. Thanks for being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, and I hope you all have a great week.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, we like to have some fun, but also talk about the stories of the day. We do so by playing a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Hi, Isaac Lowenkron. How are you?
Hi, Doug Gottlieb. I can't wait for this one.
Rank 'em.
I want you to start by ranking the three best quarterbacks in college football history. Throw some names out there as a warm-up to consider. Cam Newton, Doug Flutie, Vince Young, Tim Tebow. Sorry, we have a quirk in our system that plays that angelic sound effect every time I mention that name. Marcus Mariota, Matt Leinart, Tommy Frazier from Nebraska, Danny Werfel from Florida. Give me your three best all-time quarterbacks in college football history.
Tim Tebow will be at three. Tommy Frazier at two.
Ah, up goes Frazier.
Matt Leinart at one.
Very good. Okay, I'm writing these down right now. And in the meantime, let's go to the NFL. Give me the three best divisions in the NFL. Three best divisions in the NFL.
Three best divisions in the NFL. Okay. Well, let's do process of elimination.
All right.
Okay, the NFC East, we agree that's not one of them. The NFC South, though it had the Saints and the Bucks. We don't know what the Saints look like, and the Falcons and the Panthers are not close to being there yet. So we'll eliminate the NFC East, the NFC South. The NFC North is interesting, although Detroit brings it down and Minnesota wasn't particularly good last year. The NFC West has been outstanding. I think the Rams will be better, but I don't know. Seahawks are always good. Arizona gets a lot more hype than they are actually good. And then who's the other team I'm thinking of? Arizona. Who's the other team? The
49ers.
And the 49ers, who I think should be good. AFC, you got AFC West, I think is very good, but the Raiders yet to turn the corner. And the Broncos are better at quarterback, but still not good, but they should be better. AFC North, always good. AFC East, kind of underrated, right? You had Miami's talented. The Bills are very good. Yeah. Patriots won seven games with a bad roster. Now they have a pretty good roster. We'll see as far as quarterback. And then you got the Jets. And then the AFC South, Jacksonville, Tennessee, yes. Houston, Indy, better, fine. I'm going to go AFC West, number three.
All right.
AFC West, number three. AFC, excuse me, yeah. AFC West, three. AFC North, two.
All right.
NFC West won.
Fascinating exercise. I like your sort of bottoms-up process of elimination approach to sort through that. Now, I want you to rank your top three quarterbacks heading into the 2021 NFL season.
Number three is Russell Wilson.
All right.
Number two is Aaron Rodgers, and number one is Pat Mahomes.
All right. Expect Tom Brady to block you on social media for that one. Now, I'm going to throw you a little curveball, and then if we have time, I'm going to throw you an even bigger curveball. I want you to rank your top three flavors of cookies. This is sure to get the dander up around here.
Flavors of cookies. Okay. Number three. Why do they put raisins in oatmeal cookies?
I was just, you know what? You're singing my tune, baby.
Why do they put raisins in? For that, because for some reason people just have to do that, I have to take that out.
All right. I would have pegged you as a guy who likes raisins in their cookies. I'm glad I was wrong.
No. I mean, number two and number one are really easy.
Yeah.
One's not, it's a cookie, but not. Okay, so I'm going to put Oreo number two and chocolate chip one, because chocolate chip is definitely a cookie. Whereas Oreo is kind of a combination of two things, whatever. So those are my one and two. I mean, you got Ginger Snap, you got Snickerdoodle, you got eliminate oatmeal raisin, you got sugar. You got poo-poo cookies. Are you aware of poo-poo cookies? There's the non-baked variety. They got, I'm going to go Snickerdoodle at three.
Okay.
Snickerdoodle to Oreo to chocolate chip.
We're going to have to consult with our judges if Oreos technically count for this debate. I did not expect that choice. Fascinating. But I'm right there with you on chocolate chips and particularly no raisins. Now, since we have a moment, I'm really going to throw a curveball at you. And this will really ruffle some feathers around here. I want you to rank your top three co-workers here at Fox Sports Radio. You are officially on the spot.
That's a tough one.
Top three. For what?
Rank your top three coworkers here at Fox Sports Radio. Stop stalling.
For what?
Your
favorite friends,
favorite coworkers,
on-air talent, a favorite people to work with.
Just whatever your criteria is.
Roger that.
Favorite people, whatever. Yeah.
Dan is not listening. He's at home.
I'm not here.
Number three is John Ramos. Number two is Scott Shapiro.
Oh, okay.
And number one is Julie Talbot. I mean, it's just not really close.
Wow. Oh, wow. Like sell
list.
Out.
Yes. Right behind Shapiro and Talbot.
Selling out.
That's game, huh?
Game's time.
This is game time.
That's high regard.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
I want to know, John, you beat out Don Martin.
Yes.
By a very slim amount.
My man.
But I have
recap,
a long-term contract in my back pocket, so we'll kiss up to him like in a couple of years.
Smart man.
Do you agree with my it's not really a hypothesis, my theory that life is just like the game of Survivor? It is about alliances.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, my college roommates auditioned for the original inaugural season of Survivor. Were devastated when they did not make the cut, but oh, absolutely. Outwit, outlast, the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, well, that doesn't have anything to do with my statement, right?
Well, why don't you ask me for my three favorite coworkers after that comment?
Go for it. By your 30.
Ramos is number one because he laughs at all my jokes.
Ramos is number one.
In terms of Survivor, I absolutely agree. That's one of the reasons I think it's resonated so much as a public success.
Yeah, I think, but there are lots of, especially young people, they just like, that's not fair, that's not right. And then, you know, that's the deal. That's how it actually works. There's one team that has no choice to stick with what they have. Find out next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.